Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Father, thank you for your blessing this morning, this afternoon. Whatever time it is, we are thanking you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning or afternoon's offering is entitled, "The Lord Shall Continue to Show Me the Way Forward." The Lord shall continue to show me the way forward at every point in my journey. Amen. 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 So the Lord shall continue to show you the way forward. Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Amen. Amen. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye." Amen. Amen. I'm sure you all know that your well-being, your happiness, and your state is very much dependent on if you are going in the right direction. If you are lost in life and you are headed in the wrong direction, you are not going to turn out well and things are not going to work out for you because you are headed in the wrong direction. If you are going in the wrong direction, every day means today is worse than yesterday. Because if you are going to Aflao and you are heading towards Takoradi, in Ghana, you know, it's the opposite. So I don't know where you're going to Washington and you are heading towards California. I don't know if it's the right example. All right? Look, I'm not American, so I don't know all these places. Okay, I can only talk about my local country. And I'm saying that every step towards the wrong direction makes everything worse by one day and by one more day's journey in the wrong direction. So every day things are getting worse. Yeah, because you are headed in the wrong direction. So every day is worse than the day before. And as the days go by and accumulate, things get worse. All right? So it is very important that you believe that God, apart from everything else, to help you, to bless you, is going to show you the way forward. Amen. At every point in your life and in your journey. Amen. And many times, you wouldn't know, you may be thinking that when I sow a seed of $1,000 or dollars or pounds or whatever you have, I'm going to get 10,000 pounds from God. Do you see? And that is why I'm sharing what I'm sharing with you, because even direction as to what to do from every point where you are at can be worth more than 10,000 pounds of somebody giving you a gift of 10,000, which is 10 times what you gave. Yes. Direction and information for your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, today marks the end of the next step in the wrong direction in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 10, verse 12. But I say, I'm taking an offering and I'm just giving it. You know, every time during the offering, I share a prophetic word. And today's prophetic word has to do with direction. The blessings of direction worth more than gold and silver. What is the use of a cow headed from Lagos to Kano? He has no hope without direction and a shepherd. True. So even sometimes when you talk about honoring your prophet or even honoring your shepherd, you know, you the cow would probably have to say, I owe you my life. Because I would have been turned into a kebab long ago. People have been eating my intestines. There are people who like my intestines. They use the intestines to make sausages. Yes. Somebody likes my liver. As you are walking by, somebody likes your legs. Somebody likes your thighs. Is it nice? And that's how the demons see us. They like our gizzard and our spleens. What is a gizzard, by the way? Is it a spleen? It's only found in beds. Okay, so you're not a bed, so nobody wants your gizzard. But somebody wants your liver. Somebody wants your kidney. Somebody's mouth is drooling. You'll never be found in the wrong direction after today. And as we sow our seed today, you know, I want you to believe God. Let me receive 1,000 times of direction so that I will go in the right direction. In Jesus' name. From this point, that is the point where you are now. Your direction also depends on your point. That's why Google Maps will ask you, can we have your location? Your current location. Because direction depends on your current location. Wherever you are, whether you came there by good or bad means, that is your starting point. And Google Maps wants to know where you are so it can tell you where to go. Google Maps is sometimes like the Holy Spirit. I feel, you know, sometimes when I disobey him or her, she just gives another direction immediately. Yeah. And then I disobey again, another direction, calmly with the same voice. Never angry, never shouting at me. Hey! And I feel that it's a very gentle, anything wrong I do, he has a new direction from the bad place I've reached. Wow. So it reminds me sometimes of the Holy Spirit. Today you are going to receive direction and you are going to head in the right direction for your life in Jesus' name. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 12. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. You know, when we pray for the nations of the world, you'll find out that God sees places as cities. I mean, he sees cities. It's like, you know, one person is almost nothing. So he sees the world in cities. So he says, Sodom is going to be easier at the judgment day. They're not going to have as much trouble as who? Some other people, yes, than for that city. Now, woe unto Chorazin. Woe unto you. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. It's not going to be easy for you at all. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. See, he keeps on talking about cities. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Now, if you go to Capernaum today, there's nothing there. It's just a monastery. One monastery, one Catholic monastery. There's a Ghanaian, actually, who works in that monastery. There, yeah. There's nothing. It's finished. Now, direction. What is the difference? I'm talking about one step. Today, I feel prophetically, even one step more in the wrong direction, God is delivering you from just one more step. Yeah. Believe you me, I'm telling you, trust me, one more step in the wrong direction. You know, if you watch some of these movies with unaratas in them, your heart keeps breaking as they keep on trusting the unarata. Unarata is a traitor. Your heart keeps breaking. Say, no, don't. So you call the person. Come for dinner. Oh, more trust, more things. And your heart keeps breaking. So one more step in the wrong direction will never happen to you in Jesus' name. Now, why am I saying to look at Capernaum and Chorazin? What is wrong with Chorazin in verse 13? Something is wrong. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. For if the mighty works that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, I hope you are listening, had been done in you. So in other words, God is expecting us to notice mighty works. He's supposed to help us, make us notice things. So, you see, one of the reasons why we don't get God's direction is that we're expecting a voice. Yeah. A voice is not the only way that you get direction, like preaching or talking or counseling. Mighty works, if just the works that have been done should have directed you. Wow. Yes, that's why today we send Instagram and pictures, a lot of pictures. People always send pictures. That is more of a message. Now, yeah, it's just people have realized that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Just one picture, then it's, oh, I see. Oh, okay, that's it. That's why people are sending pictures now, because pictures are messages. So there's more than one way of hearing from God than just like a voice that tells you something. Mighty works. And great things that God does are supposed to speak to you. The pandemic that we are seeing is supposed to speak to us. I don't know if it hasn't spoken to you. I don't know what. And the things that are happening in the pandemic, the mysterious nature of it, and the way it has afflicted different places differently, even should speak to you. Now, if God's mighty works don't speak to you, then you are going to be in trouble. So today God is telling you, this is a prophetic word, let mighty works be messages to you. Great things, events, great blessings, great opportunities. We are here. The pandemic, they said, we will be lying on the streets dead. And we are here. It's true. I got a message from Niger. Said, there is nothing like corona. Nobody knows about it over there. Yes, there's nothing like that there.
Wow.
Yes. And you see, sometimes what people were saying initially was that they are not testing. That's why they are not knowing. But the actual reality is that the hospitals don't have people. That's also, I mean, there are no people in the hospitals.
Yeah.
Yes. Because even if they are not testing, as the disease progresses, the people will come to the hospital and die in the mortuaries. Even the hospital, then the mortuaries. We are talking about places where 1,000 people and 1,500 people die every day. You can imagine 1,000 coffins are needed a day. It's more than September 11th, the people who died in September 11th in a day. So I'm just explaining to you. Uganda, only 70 people have died. Yeah, there's nothing else. There's 70 people have died in Uganda. And so I saw them, they were now writing, they are trying to find out, investigate why. Yeah, why few people are dying. It's mysterious. I'm not giving a reason, but I'm just explaining to you that even the deliverance should let you see that a mighty work has been wrought by God.
Amen.
Yes. Now, if the mighty work that were done in Tyre and Sidon had been done, they would have noticed the word a great while ago repented. So it's like they would have changed some time ago. They would have been far faster to change, because if they change, you would have noticed that they changed earlier.
Yeah.
Small thing, or they would have changed direction. But you, a great while will pass, you will not change. And as a great while goes by, your case gets worse. You see, a case becomes worse depending on how long it is on. Your character is judged by how long meetings are held with you on issues. And cases are, according to this verse, Tyre and Sidon will have it easier because they, if these mighty works were done, they would have repented by Tuesday. Or they would have repented by next month. But in your case, a great while will pass, you still not repent. So the length of time that it takes for repentance means change of mind reveals the extent of your condemnation and your judgment. A great while ago, they would not have taken this time to change. They Tyre and Sidon would not, even though they didn't have those great works. Jesus was telling us, because he knows already in their heart, and this one, when I do this and this, he will change us now. This is when I do this, it will take 10 years. Person will not change. This person will not change unless he's caught. The length of time, a great while, is needed to change your direction. Then there's something very wrong. And that's why Jesus said, woe to you. Woe to you. So, that's why this morning I am sharing with you, I'm saying that you, what did I say is the theme? The Lord shall continue to show me the way forward at every point in my journey. Yes. And for Tyre and Sidon, when they were shown the way, they didn't take long. A great while has to pass before Chorazin and whatever. And that's why I said, woe to you. Woe to you. Because it takes too long to listen, to hear. That is why we teach honor your prophet. Is it next week, honor your prophet? 2 weeks. Yes. I don't have any difficulty in teaching you as my children or my the young people that are following or the people in the church to teach you to honor me as a prophet to you. Because those who have failed to honor the prophet as a prophet and have become familiar and have walked as though he's just a friend or somebody you can just say whatever and so on, it has not worked well for them. It has not. Because you are dishonoring the anointing and you are not respecting something that is amazing. You know, some years ago, I visited a pastor in America. He took me to his room, his bedroom, and then he took me to, yeah. And then in this room, he showed me my books there. A white man, American. He told me that was, I mean, this must be 5-7 years ago. He said, I've not seen anybody as who has achieved as much as you have achieved at your age in the ministry before. I've never seen it before. And all his friends, Kenneth Hagin used to come to church all the time. Kenneth Hagin used to come to church. T.L. Osborne was in his church. If any man that you've heard of, anybody has been in, was in the church. Yes. And up till today, it's a major church. He told me, he said, I've not seen anybody who has achieved. This was easily 7-8, I don't know when, years ago. 8 years ago. Maybe 10. Maybe even 10. I don't know if he's been dead for so long. Yeah. That's what he told me. Huh? Yes. And today his son is doing a great work there. Listen, it hasn't worked out well for those who have despised by familiarity. You see, when you are familiar, if your father always buys you expensive cars, you don't even know when a car comes, you'll be saying, ah, but this Mercedes-Benz doesn't have this, and this one is whatever. And I always said I prefer BMW to Mercedes-Benz, and so on. That is like that you become talking in a way. Yes. Because you are used to it. We are used to our books. We are used to the messages. We are used to the branches. We are used to the buildings. Where even some of our branches, some of our people's headquarters that they make a lot of noise about. It's true. In other nations, in towns, you are building cathedrals and you are used to it. So it is nothing to you. And he said that if the mighty works that were done here, these people would have been faster to change. So the length of time which it takes you to see things, recognize, change, modify, shows why a war should be declared over you. And that is why the length of time is used in judgment. The length of time. Yes. That's all Jesus was saying. That's the only difference. And he said, they would have repented sitting in sackcloth and ashes. That in a way that we see, sackcloth and ashes. When I was studying this verse a couple of days ago, I went to research on what is sackcloth and ashes. He said, it's the way to show that you are mourning and a form of debasement. That's the word they use. Debasement. You lower yourself. You debase yourself by wearing sackcloth instead of wearing linen or whatever. You lower yourself and it's shown, it's seen. Like in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, it says that we have renounced hidden things, do you see, and by manifestation of truth, you manifest truth. And by the manifestation of truth, you recommend yourself to people's hearts. In their hearts, they feel that you are right or they feel that you've changed. Or you are genuine. So the length of time it takes for God to convince you, many people who should have even been on the mission field, it has taken them their whole life till it's come to the end of their lives. You know, today, some years ago, I didn't know anybody who has cancer. Today, I know many people who have cancer. Many. I didn't know even one person that, oh, this person has got cancer. But I just immediately rattled off my head. This one has cancer, this one has cancer, this one has cancer. This one. I'm not talking about elderly people. I'm talking about our own church family. Yeah. It's a sign of the stage of life. And young people wouldn't know people like that. Because your immune system and your body changes as you go, get older, and become more susceptible to things that would not have been a problem earlier. That's why when you go to the hospital, they always ask you, how old are you, please? When you mention your age, then they know that certain things are possible. Put my theme up there again. Offering, because it's an offering. I'm not actually preaching. The Lord shall continue to show me the way forward at every point in my journey. It's not going to take you long to know that the way forward is this next step. It's not going to take you long. You are not going to be like Chorazin and Bethsaida. You're going to be like Tyre and Sidon. A great while ago, they would have changed long time ago, and the case will not be even mentioned again. If God has called you, that's the way forward. If God has sent you, that's the way forward. How many years, how long does it take for your change to come? What do you want to see? After you've seen mighty works, you should know God is invisible. He's present. He's everywhere. You want to see him face to face, then you wait till you die. So God will show you the way forward at every point in your journey. And I believe that today, as we sow our prophetic seed offerings, tithes, and everything that you have to give to God, God is revealing to you the way forward from this point. Google Maps is asking you, where is your location? And from that point, there is a way forward. That is why they say, for every engineering problem, there is an engineering solution. Every spiritual problem, every location, every financial crisis, anything you are in, there is a solution of that particular thing. And that is the way forward God is giving you. So today, I want you to have faith that God is going to give you of great value direction for your life. Of great value. You don't need direction for your life only when you are going to marry. Oh, this is not the only point that you are going forward in something. Who should I marry? Apart from who should I marry, there are a thousand things that are going to be the way forward for you. And God is expecting you to find out from him the way forward. And I believe that today marks a special day of direction for your life. Take your offerings, your tithes, and whatever gift you have for God. Yes. Take it out and let's sow a special seed. 100, 1,000, 5,000, 500, every direction. God is giving you direction. You see on the screen, by now you should have known how to give. If you are a visitor or you are new, these are the ways to give. If you don't want to give, don't give, but don't say any bad thing, lest you are disappear like Korah or Dathan and Abiram. All right? But just give and you shall be blessed. Many, many powerful announcements will be coming up soon. Swelling Sunday and our first all-together practical meeting, physical, is going to be announced soon. Amen.
Amen.
And I know you are going to be excited about it. Yes. Beautiful. This is a great opportunity for everybody. Take your tithes in case your data finishes before the service is over and maybe the television goes off. And remember, they are all technologies that are working. And all the reason why planes don't crash is they have two things that are doing the same thing, or like two or three things. So electricity can go off, internet can go off, this can go off. Different places, you know, have. One time we were having, and the broadcast was interrupted, and the cost was from the UK, not from Ghana. So, and I didn't want to tell you that the UK have caused it, but it was private. All right? So take out your offering, and I want you to sow, and your tithes. Don't not give tithes. Don't say, oh, tithe, I would have given an envelope. Don't do that. There's no envelope now, so I don't know how to give tithe. I don't have tithe cards. No. A tithe is a tithe, and you can give more than tithe. And those of you who have eaten your tithe in different ways, you must also give offerings to cover in case of whatever. Look, Lord, I'm not so sure about certain things. Please receive this, the covering of every possible mistake with the monies. In Jesus' name, take this lump sum. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do that. And I know that God is blessing you fantastically. All right. We shall be having a Swollen Sunday. When is the Swollen Sunday? 8th of November. Swollen Sunday. And a couple of days' time gives us October. We are back in the winter. And we are still pressing on to overcome the situation. Things are not normal yet. In fact, things are even getting worse in some places and better in some places, and generally confusing the picture. Wicked men are doing different things. We can't even tell what they are doing, but God is delivering us from evil. Amen. Get your Bluetooth speaker so that you can appreciate the church service. It is different when you watch church on your phone. Some of you are used to doing everything on your phone, but when the sound is more, the Holy Spirit atmosphere is different. Amen. Amen. Father, I give you thanks for every gift, every offering, every special offering that is being given today. Anoint your children mightily, and thank you that you are giving us direction from this point forward, worth more than $1 million. Thank you for direction. In Jesus' name, we are grateful that you don't leave us, that you're always talking to us and guiding us. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Are you excited to be in the house of God? I'm sorry, God is still working on me. He's not done with me yet. Amen. Are you excited to be in the house of God? God is showing you the way forward at every point in your journey. And that prophecy begins its fulfillment right now in this service. God is showing us the way forward. Job said, I know he will show me he knows the way that I take, and he will bring me out as pure gold. Amen. And so today, the Lord is going to speak to us and show us the way forward. How many of you want to know what to do next? Hallelujah. And at every junction each of us finds ourselves in, I believe God has a word for us. Yesterday we were charged by faith. Last week. Yeah, it feels a long time ago. Feels like yesterday. Okay. But we were charged by the message on faith, and we were calling the things which be not as though they were. And everything that seems to be nothing in your life, out of nothing is coming something in Jesus' name. Now today I'm just excited to hear the next stage of our self-defense. Amen. And I know that God is going to transform you. Now whatever you're going through, whatever demon you're struggling with, your defenses are going to fight and turn away every devil and every spirit. I thought you'd be believing and receiving faith. How many of you are struggling with the devil? How many of you can think of a devil which is trying to fight with you? No, I'm serious. How many of you are struggling with a devil? Raise your hand. Even at home, raise your hand. I tell you, the armor of God is repelling every attack in Jesus' name. And God has sent us his prophet to preach to us, to bring the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I believe our lives will never be the same again. So as we get ready to welcome our prophet, our pastor, we want to sing our beautiful song of faith, which says nothing is impossible for God.
It's impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Say, hearken to the voice of God. Is there anything too hard for me?
Too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word for everything. everything. Yes.
Come on, with all the faith you can master, lift your hands and your voices and sing it again.
It's impossible when you put your trust.
Whatever seems impossible is being made possible in the name of Jesus.
When you're trusting in His word,
hearken to the word of God. Is there anything too hard? I prophesy to you this morning that as you rest upon His word, every impossible situation, every mountain, every difficult place is becoming a plain before you in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voices, give the Lord a shout of victory, and let's welcome our prophet to preach the word of God this morning. Amen.
Father, thank you for the blessing of your word this morning. Thank you for an encounter in the name of Jesus that moves us forward in the direction that you have determined for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, defending yourself against evil powers. Ephesians, wherefore take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God is telling us exactly what to do to protect ourselves from devils. The first thing is to have your loins girt about with truth. Anything that is not true is an open door. I just recently had a meeting with some of my bishops, and I told them that, listen, you're supposed to have this number of people in your group. And because you don't have this number, what you are leading is not real. It's a deception. And any form of deception is an open door to the enemy. So I disbanded it. I said, from today, you are no more in charge of that, because it's not a real thing. It has too few people. And we are soon going to start in our churches. If you don't double in size by a certain date, you're not a real pastor. And that will be it. So that, you know, any unreal thing, we just move them away. Because unreal things are open doors. Yeah, it's a deception. It's not true. It's not real. The word pastor is just being misused. Do you see?
Yeah.
And so on. So it's not real, and it opens the door for the enemy to come in. You don't even know what kind of enemy. But before you realize, not only that is not real, but many, many other things are not real. So truth is very important to defend yourself. Yeah, telling yourself the truth, being honest. All right, number two. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Very important. Righteousness. We go on for years on that. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So the gospel, preaching the gospel, is a deliverance from many, many attacks. We must be on the move preaching. We must be moving. We must be preaching. Otherwise, something bad is going to happen. Do you see? Moving and preaching and working for God and preaching the gospel is important so as to prevent bad things from succeeding against us. When we are out there doing His work, preaching the gospel, certain bad things and certain bad attacks which the enemy plans for your life will not be successful just because you are preaching. Yeah, just because you are preaching. Do you see? Yeah. So, you want me to tell you the bad things that cannot happen? But many bad things cannot happen because you are preaching. Then, above all, so he says, now, the big one is faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, faith is the big one in terms of your defenses against God, against the enemy, not against God. For God. Not against God. Above all, taking the shield of faith. So it's a big one. And so that's how come we ended up on faith. All right. So faith, I feel the need to still dwell a bit on that. Because it's the big one. Yes. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says that we walk by faith. Is that not so? So your walk is by faith. So like your life. And then we live by faith. The Bible also says the just shall live by faith. And then Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says that we are saved by faith. So saved by faith, living by faith, walking by faith. You can't do much without faith. You can't even walk. You can't live. And you can't even be saved. Okay? Now, the big one is that you cannot please God without faith. So, without faith, you know, you must please God by having faith. Now, that word please is an interesting word. It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Another word there is move God. Without faith, it's impossible to move God or to lift God's mood or to excite God. Yes. So unless you have faith, God doesn't get excited. Yes. His mood and his feeling never changes when you don't have faith. So you need to have faith. Now, when the Bible says that we live, the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4, it says, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. When the Bible says live by faith, it means that your living and your walking is your faith. What you do shows what you believe. So the more you do certain things, the more you are believing. And the less you do and live in a certain way, the more it shows you are not in faith. And when you are not in faith, you are not pleasing to God. In fact, you don't move God. You don't move God. So sometimes, you know, just going somewhere moves God. Yeah, just traveling somewhere moves God. You know, hardly have I seen any mission that people have obediently gone in believing that hasn't turned out to be something great. It sometimes takes a while, but it eventually it happens. Because they were men of faith. And they moved God. Without faith, you can't move God. God doesn't move when people don't have faith. And then that if God doesn't move, the devil is so happy. He just looks and says, God is not moving there. Let's go there. So you need to have faith in God. And it blocks the enemy. Now, chapter 12 of my book here, Faith Secrets. Yes. It's an interesting book. I myself am blessed when I read it. Genesis 17, 21. God said to Abraham, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Faith is to make adjustments in your life based on what you believe. Make adjustments in your life based on what you believe. Make adjustments in your life. Yes. My covenant will I establish with Isaac. And then what did Abraham do? And Abraham gave Genesis 25 and verse 5. 8 chapters later, Abraham adjusted his will. He adjusted his will because he believed, even though he had other children, that God's covenant was with Isaac. He would never see it in his lifetime because he died. Isaac was still a young person. He would never see it, but he believed. So he adjusted his will, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. He made a major adjustment in his family thing based on something that God had told him. Yes. But unto the sons of his concubines, he gave them gifts. So there's a difference between giving all and giving gifts. We would never know unless we were there. He gave gifts, sprinkles to the others. You know how it is. Sometimes you are supposed to give, you just give something. It's still giving. But it is not the main thing. Yeah. And he gave all. So the adjustments that you make will block the devil. Yes. Now, what adjustments are you expected to make in your personal life based on what God has told you? Yes. What adjustments are there in your life? Are you a man of faith? Abraham adjusted his will instead of being fair and giving equal portions to all of his children. As somebody would have said, you must be fair. They are all your children. They are all what? Your children. No, based on what I believe, he made adjustments according to the promise he had received from God. He gave everything to Isaac. Isaac was the special child according to the word that he had received. Even though he had had outdooring for Ishmael and for this and for this and for all of them. They were all his children. You know, sometimes you see when somebody has different wives, you see that the different children are all his children. And he would tell you, they are my children. A child is a child. He never lived to see how special Isaac would be. But he adjusted his will and shared his properties accordingly. Your adjustment and your adaptation is your great act of faith. That's your faith in action. And that's your blocking of the enemy. Yeah. That's the blocking of the enemy. He expects you to adjust your life. Amen.
Amen.
He did not favor his daughters as some people do in their wills. He did not favor his firstborn as some people do. He did not favor his youngest child as some people do. He gave everything he had to his second-born son, Isaac. Kamara Pasata. Since Isaac was the chosen one, all he did was based on his belief. God expects you to adjust your life and prepare for what he has told you. Yes. Faith is a weapon. Wow. And it blocks demons. You see, look, maybe you may not know. People have different philosophies when it comes to what they own. The Ashantis and the Akans, they believe that my sister's child is my child. Yes, my sister's child. Huh? Rightly so. Somebody saying rightly so. The wafa, the uncle. My wife has got many brothers. So I'm expecting my children are their children. So I'm expecting all of them to give their things to my children. And rightly so. I'm expecting. So those of you who are watching, I'm expecting transfer of wealth to my children. Yeah. Because that is what they believe with all their heart. Yes, they believe with all their heart that my sister's child, that's my real child, that's the one I am sure of that is my child. Because the child came out of my sister. And my sister is really my sister that I grew up with. And this child came from here. So I saw it. And that is for sure my sister's child. But whether it is my child, you can never be sure. Many people have done tests and been surprised that their father is not their father. And who they thought was their parent was not the parent. It's a surprise. Yes. That's some people's belief. Some people believe give things to your youngest because you may not be around when your youngest one, your youngest baby, is growing up. So you may not be there to look after the child as you look after the older ones. So you give your things to them. That's what, according to the belief. Yes. I'm showing you how people share things based on their belief. Yeah. You send the older ones to university. You were there when they were going to school. You were there. You were able to organize, pay, and all those things. Now you are dying or you are dead. Who is going to look after the small one? So the small one, you give to the smaller one what you have. That is what some people believe. Then some people also believe you give, and rightly so. And then some also believe that you give the things to your daughters. Because a daughter is going to marry and she's going to be at the risk and at the mercy of some guy who will come and maybe not be faithful to her or mistreat her and so on. So what you have, you've given it to your daughter to care for her, that should, in case the man is an evil man, you get it, her father's care has catered for her. This is how people think. And rightly so. Some people are shouting rightly so here. So we have different ways. Now God comes and meets Abraham and tells Abraham that, look, this one is the one I've chosen. And the father, Father Abraham, does not go by tradition, by common sense, by even being fair. You know, some people, one of the reasons why some people don't even make a will is they don't know how to share the things they have. Because I have now 5 children and I have 1 house. Or I have 5 children and 2 houses. So what shall I do? What you do? So he doesn't write a will. So let me, what, you sort it out. Sort it out. Yes, amongst yourselves. Or they will write a will and give everything to all of them. So then they now have to divide, 2 divided by 5. You yourself see what you can do with it. 2 divided by 5. Yes. So, all these are done, but when a man of faith comes, you see, there is no aspect of your life that does not change because of faith. Yes. And what God, there's no aspect, including such things, based on faith and what you believe. Yes. Not logic. Yeah. Yeah. I told somebody, I said, look, give this into your child whilst your child needs it. Don't wait and die so that there will be a will that says you were such a rich man, you had this and this. This is the moment that your child needs it. If the person will listen to what I'm saying. But you see, the person, somebody may say, I believe that I've received a counsel or a word from God, and I'm going to conduct my life in this way. Yes. Or somebody may be told, you know, I told somebody once, be careful, this will, people can fight over it for a long time. Different things. But people don't believe things. I'm just trying to say that. And you see people dying. I've told people, do this. They didn't believe me. That's what I'm saying, that I will not hesitate to tell you to honor your prophet. Even I am the prophet. He said, honor, so you will learn to believe things. Right. Yes, just learn to follow things and believe. It's not helping you not believing. It is not helped. has not helped. It has not made people prosper. It has not made people do well. Yeah. I told a man, I said, write your will now. I remember I was sitting on the pew, just the two of us. I said, listen, I want to give you this advice. It was, I rather annoyed. How am I? Instead of praying for him, instead of saying this, instead of saying, you are now, I rather annoyed. Yes. When he died, then now his children and his family fell under the mercy of families. You see, people will change. You can't believe that this is my husband's sister. Yes. Who was very nice coming to the house up and down. When their eyes have opened, our brother's house is our house. It's this and that, different things. People learn to believe. That's why I said that if the mighty works which were done in Tyre and Sidon, if these mighty works had been a great one, they would have been faster to change their ways. Abraham was listening, and he said, God told him, this boy is the boy. That's all. And that changed everything. Even though in the Hebrew custom, the firstborn is to have a double portion. Firstborn is to have a double portion. According to the word of the Lord, this is what I believe in, and this is what I'm doing. Let us now adjust our personal lives, our financial life, and everything that I've stood in the church giving advice about loans, counsel, mortgages, and all these wicked things. People don't believe. And even today, there are things that I would say, even like with the corona and so on. I've even stood here to suggest, or to say, even using common sense, do this, take this, do this. Paul said, there was nothing I held back. If there was something that was good for you, I didn't hold it back from you. But people don't believe it. They don't believe. And it opens the door to demons. That's why I say that a defense in your life is to adjust your life according to the word of God that comes. And it shows your beliefs. The lack of adjustment shows that you are not a man of faith. We talk to people about every little detail. Sex, family life. You say, do this. They don't believe it. They will not adjust. Hey. They will not adjust. You see them looking at your spouse. Oh, you think we are children? That this and this and that. Or whatever you tell me to do this and that. This is how people are thinking. And that is why their doors are, it's like the gate is wide open for demons to flood into the house. People will not adjust their lives. He adjusted his finances, adjusted his will, adjusted even his traditions. It is the Hebrew one that we learn that the firstborn has a double portion because he's the first. And he's the first because his head is affected by that labor, the first one. His brain, the place is so tight. The oxygen, the brain, he suffers to make things easy for others. And before he realized, when he's come out, he's stubborn. Because stubbornness is from the brains. Yes. But Abraham put that aside. And he said, no. God said this. That's why he was a man of faith. Chapter 13. Faith is to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Your fight shows your faith. There is a fight of faith waiting for all of us. Having faith is not just having a deep conviction. It's not Having faith is not just making positive confessions. Having faith is fighting for what you believe. What has God told you that he's going to do? Keep fighting for the will of God to come to pass in your life. Your faith is your life. What you fight for shows what you believe in. I do not fight for political parties. I have no such faith. I fight for the church and I fight for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Yes. I fight for the church and I fight for the kingdom. There are times that I've seen people's churches going down and my heart immediately goes up because long ago I stopped loving only my church. Long ago. It happened to me long ago. And you see, your hand is the size of your heart. My heart is about this size. If you take out my heart, it will be about this size. Your hand and your heart are about the same size. When God gives you a bigger heart, He gives you a bigger hand. And helps you to do greater things and more things to help more people. So, He, long time ago, opened my heart to care for other people's churches. When I see them struggling, when I see people going down, this happening, that happening, even people that are in difficulty. You know, I don't like people attacking people that are down and so. I don't like those things at all. Yes. Yes. And God, if you believe in God and you believe in His church, you fight for the church. You fight the good fight. And you have scars after. You have wounds after. And you stand and you fight. And you have enemies. And people who hate you. Because you are fighting for the church to work. Many times I transfer people. I've never transferred anybody since this church began without having a good reason. I always check my heart because one of the cultures I've seen in the Ghana culture in many offices that if they are not happy with you, they will send you to a corner. If you are working in Accra, they don't want you, they will transfer you to some outlandish place. By the grace of God, I've never transferred anybody. Except it was for two reasons. Either for the good of the church or the good of the pastor. Yes. If it doesn't fulfill these two qualifications, it should never happen. Moving somewhere and doing a mission is not a punishment. Has never been and should never be. And I'm ready to fight for the church to be solid, for the church to have what it needs. And I'm ready to have enemies for that. Oh, yes. I'm ready for that. You will not enjoy me much as an enemy. I'm not a nice enemy to have. Yes. I'm not a nice enemy to have. And you must not be a nice enemy in your fight. You must fight in a good fight. For other things, you leave it. One day somebody told me, he said, it seems you are phlegmatic. I said, yeah. When it comes to certain things, I just play on. What is it? No, it's okay. It's okay. But if you come to a certain point, I will not be phlegmatic with you about it. Yes. One day I was in a sitting room with someone, and I put my hand out, and I slammed the table. I said, look, try and you will see something. Yes. One day there was a pastor, he was doing something. I told him, look, all my guns, shooting guns, are in this direction. When you go and stand there, you'll be fired. Don't stand there. It's not personal, but they are all pointing in this direction. So when you adjust yourself and you go there, there will be a lot of shots fired in your direction. Yes. Well, that's the direction we are shooting, but it's not that you. So don't move into that place. Are you ready to fight for what you believe? If you think that we are going to roll over and let things just happen, roll over and let people have their way and do whatever, as long as I'm a leader here in the church, I'm not just going to roll over and let things go on a certain way. No. One day after the meeting, somebody said, when I'm speaking, he becomes afraid. I said, it's good to be afraid. It's good to be afraid. Yes. Yes. Fight the good fight. There are things to fight for. Fight for the church. Fight for God. Fight for the word. Fight for God's servants. Thank you. Yes. And I don't find it difficult to identify with all God's servants. Yes. I can see something good in everybody. And everybody, anybody who has a problem, church, I mean, look, you know, charismatics, a lot of charismatics, you don't even have respect for grown-up churches. But when you grow a little, you see. When you stay in the church for some time, you will begin to admire Mary the Virgin. When Pope John Paul died, on his coffin, they wrote M for Mary. I also admire Mary. Yes. I also admire Mary. I can understand why they admire Mary. You will learn to fight for everything in the world and every good thing. Yes. Than to leave the church to be lambasted by fools. I'm saying this to say that there is nothing that belongs to us. Who hates us? The devil hates us. The world hates us. Why would you leave even the smallest part of the church for the enemy? No. No. We are all brethren. Yes. If the outside world gets you, you see how much they hate pastors. Why should pastors fight one another? Why should churches find something wrong? I wish my church would be 1,000 years old. Can it even reach 1,000? I mean, I wonder if our church can even get 100 years, 200 years, much less to get 1,000-year-old church where they are still wearing the same uniform in KJV as they are wearing in Rome. And speaking Latin and Italian in KJV. They are speaking Italian. They've been able to train themselves and survive. I don't know why you have time to say negative things, and I want you to become a fighter for the church. All these prophets doing things and saying things and so on. Look, if I could call somebody's ATM number, I would thank God every day that, Lord, I look at people, I know their ATM number. Why do you attack things? We are here to fight the devil and fight the good fight of faith for things that we believe. So having faith shows your fight. Now, when you see them standing, talking, politics, how they can fight each other in America, in England, in Ghana, we are going to have elections. This one says, this one says, this one says. You just watch it. Just learn to be a spectator. But what we fight for is God and the church. That's why I formed the National Association of Charismatic and Christian Churches, NAC. I'm the founder of that thing. It's to fight for churches. And the Ghana Charismatic Bishops Conference, I also founded that one. It's to fight for bishops and leaders of the church. What you do? Fighting, failing to fight. You see, when someone is attacked, you don't just roll over and say, come and pass. No. No. Sometimes some people attack and I say, don't start, oh. Don't start. Watch Rambo, First Blood, Part 1. Part 1. That's why it's called First Blood. He said, you drew first blood. I didn't do anything. I was walking. If you like, go home and watch it. After church, you can watch it and see. There's nothing bad in it. You just see. The man is walking as a veteran. He's come from the war. He's looking for his friend. He found out that his friend is dead. Then he's just walking in the town maybe to go and buy food. Then they say, no, the way he looks, he should leave the town. Then he said, why? I'm a free man now. Why should I leave the town? They said, no, they said, sit in my car. He sat in the car, drove him out, said, stay here. We don't want your type in this town. So, why? So he decided to come back to the town. They chased him. And then in the end, somebody died as they were chasing. And he was saying that, he drew the first blood. I didn't attack anybody. So that's what started the war. By the time Rambo, they finished with Rambo, the whole town was burning. Yeah, because he's from Vietnam. Do you understand? Yeah. So that is how you must be, that if somebody is coming, the fire will engulf the whole place. And they will say that, this man, we shouldn't touch him like that again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Some of you, watch films, you don't understand what you are watching. Amen. Faith is to fight. There's nothing wrong with fighting a good fight of faith. Amen. Number chapter 14. Faith is to experience painful things for God. Amen. Genesis 17. This, verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep. Verse 10 to 12. Between me and you and thy seed, every man, child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. When you walk with God, he will ask you to do things that may be painful. He asked Abraham to circumcise himself and his whole family. The pain he experienced was private pain. To walk with God, you must know pain. You will know pain if you are a man of faith. Abraham was a father of faith and he knew pain. As a man of faith, you will experience private suffering. Why is that? Because most of the world is in pain and difficulty. The world has fallen into the hands of Satan. Satan is the god of this world, and most people are under his domain and are in pain and in difficulty. All right? Even in America and all the places where you think things are okay, things are not that okay. Yes. Yesterday I saw the funeral of this young lady who was killed by the pastor. You know, and you see when they were quarreling in the house and all that, you see a nice house, a beautiful house, and so on. The husband was saying this, the wife was saying this, and so on. Everything looks nice. Nice place, nice room, nice everything. But there's pain there. There's suffering, there's confusion, there's difficulty. Yes. And then I read an article that says 76 of Americans do not have a spare $1,000. To repair their cars if it gets spoiled. 76% of Americans don't have a spare $1,000. Like, I have $1,000 if my car gets spoiled, I can pay for it. I'm reading from the book. Facts. Yes. So, there is a pain. And Joshua was asked to circumcise everyone with sharp knives, without anesthesia. Look, it's a serious thing. Yes, to request a circumcision of grown-ups in the middle of their lives, you get it, without anesthesia. Yes. I mean, I've known grown-ups going to do this. But it's like you wait, you try to get the surgery, anesthesia, and everything set, so that they can go through as easily as possible, you know. But God called Abraham and said, this is what I want you to do. Yes. And what you will do. Yeah. But you see, today's Christians are not prepared to go through anything. Many people who are trying to go on missions are trying to save whatever. These 190 nations we've been praying for, if you had faith, you will not be planning. You see, we are planning to escape even the smallest difficulty. So people are saving and trying to organize themselves to prevent any kind of possible difficulty. I know one brother, when he was coming full time, I mean, he went to buy a car, bought this, bought that. He bought cars to last as long as possible. You know, it was like to try to preempt any kind of suffering, or and he bought a car for his wife, went to get a checkup, colonoscopy or whatever, different other tests and for his life. Full body check. Just to be sure that he's okay as he's coming into full-time ministry. You know? What is it? And it's like here God is saying, go and cut off this thing and experience pain. So much pain that when Dinah was raped, mishandled by her, this other people, they asked the whole family to be circumcised. And when they were circumcised, they were in such pain. By 3 days, inflammation, it becomes swollen. All the place will be swollen, infected, and a lot of pain. They couldn't. They just came to kill them easily like that. They couldn't move. They couldn't move. No, no, no. They just slaughtered the people all like that. They were just there. To take even a step or to move, say, ah, I cannot walk. Yeah, they killed the whole family. Yeah. So to circumcise, you know, any hardship that God takes you through, a man of faith is ready to go through whatever you have to go through for God. God is looking for people who are ready to go through. What they really believe for, you see how they are ready to suffer for it. You see people going to America. I've seen people go to America separated from their wives and children for 8 years. 8 years. I saw one brother say, how many years? 8 years he has not seen his wife and children. For the sake of what? A green card. Beautiful. They are prepared to do many things. I met one person who was in medical school for 25 years. Yes. Yeah. 25 years of education. Yeah. And people are prepared to do many things. I've seen young girls alone. They will go to Angola during the war. Go to Angola alone. Go to this other country, Afghanistan. They are on posting. No problem at all. One of our own pastors died in Afghanistan on posting. The most dangerous places in the world. People are ready. But when it comes to the work of God, it's like, do they have conflicts? Do they have milk? Do they have fresh juice? Weetabix? Are there landmines? Landmines? I know a young lady who was in Angola on mission. Whether there are landmines or not, she was there. Yes. What you really believe is what you see people taking pain for. And you see that avoiding that pain is going to open you wide to demons. Yeah. So later on, you see that your life has changed. What is going on? Because I was avoiding something. I should have done the circumcision. I should have done it. I should have taken the bullet. Bite the bullet, as they say. I should have humbled myself and gone through the pain at that time. But because you didn't, it opened the gate. I'm seeing a gate like it opens wide and they all rush in. Hey. And people's lives are a phantom of what it would have been. A phantom. Chapter 16, faith is to act with speed. Now, and Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money, every male of the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day. The day God told him, he went out and he said, God has spoken to me, all of you. I mean, if the pastor came out and said that God has told me to paint everybody's penises with red paint. So line up outside, we are going to paint you. Not to cut it all. Just painting. What? We are paint. We are coming for painting with oil paint. That is what God has told me. Are you listening to me? Speed shows your faith. So some people feel they are phlegmatic. When we teach them certain things, take a long time. But the speed of your action shows how much you believe. And the slowness opens you to the devil. The slowness in acting opens up. The devil comes in like a flood. Because you were slow to move. You were slow to move. When you believe God, start running, start moving, start acting. The speed with which you obey, he said, that self same day, we are talking of a man of faith, the self same day, God said to him, today, he came out of the vision and said, this is it. Some years ago, I had a vision. I was on a dark road and we came, it was dark, it was night. And I came to a junction. It was a big crossroads and I was alone. Nobody else was there. And when I got to there, I was riding a bicycle. I still can see the bicycle. This type of big bicycle with big wheels. You know, and I was riding. So when I got to the junction, I wasn't sure, am I going right, left, or straight? I had three options. So I said it to, I slowed down at the junction. And it was dark. I could see the grass on the sides, but it was a junction. And I was sort of trying to see, where should I go? Where should I go? Where should I? And then I knew suddenly what was the right way to go. But because I was circulating in the area, a snake came out of the bushes and decided to follow me. And the snake was very long and slim. That's how I remember it. Very long and slim. If you listen to the camp, Snake Junction. And he followed me. Hey, I was riding. I looked back and this snake was coming with top speed. If you've ever seen, I had once a snake passing by me on the grass. It's very fast. It was gone. And this snake followed me and followed me and followed me. And then I woke up and the Lord told me, you see, because when you got to that junction, you were dilly-dallying. That's why this thing located you and has followed you, because you were dilly-dallying at the junction of your life. When you get to the junction, don't hesitate, because it opens the door for things to follow you. Sometimes you see people, within a short while, their lives have changed. Look at Josie Cadella. She was a little girl walking around there. She's got two children now, married. Two children. She's becoming what? An adult. Yeah. Like, within a short time, suddenly, she's an adult. And what was like a child with no responsibilities, nothing, just moving, a single girl walking around, everything is different now. Yes. So as you dilly-dally at the junction of your life, things pick up and start saying, oh, let's go for the journey. Let's go along. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Before you realize, as you are going, your baggage is following you. And something you may not need, and sometimes a demonic work you don't need, is now part of your life because of the delay. By the time Abraham has announced the people that he's going to circumcise, and then he waits for 2 weeks, people would have risen up. Why does he want to cut our penis? Why doesn't he cut our toe? Why not about the ladies? And what about this? And how can it be? It's very dangerous. What about if it's infected? I know somebody who had it and the person died. Because people can die from it, I'm sure. What about if they cut too much? They are using stones. Faith is to act with speed. If you slow down, it shows you don't really believe. Yes. One time I saw somebody as a doctor, and I saw the thing. I said, tomorrow. We operate on you tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm operating. We are operating. Not even Wednesday. Not even whatever. Because of what I know and what I believe. I said, will you not do the test? I said, no test. No test. This is what it is. This and this. We are doing it. No test. 1, 2, 3. Tomorrow. Yes? Based on your knowledge and your beliefs, you act. Another doctor would not have acted that way. And I know other doctors would not behave, act in a certain way. But for me, what I know and what I believe, so this we are doing tomorrow. I call, I said, tomorrow, do. Everything happens tomorrow. Because of what I've seen it before. Yeah. Faith is to act with speed. Whatever you are going slow about, it's not actually that you are slow, it's you don't actually believe. When I give instruction, I tell somebody, do this and do this. They are slow because they don't really believe that it's that important. Chapter 17, faith is to travel for God. And the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of your country and go. That is faith, traveling for God. Faith gets you up and moving. I don't mean travel to find a job. I mean traveling for God. Traveling always involves challenges and risks. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. When the Western nations really believed in God, they traveled everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They traveled everywhere building churches and raising new Christians. There are missions, buildings in remote parts of this world to testify to this fact. William Carey, the greatest missionary to India, was full of faith. And he traveled to India and never came back. Adoniram Judson, the great American missionary, traveled to Burma and he came back because of his beliefs. They sat in a ship that took 6 months to go from England to India. 6 months on the sea. 6 months on the sea. Whether you get Adoniram Judson and co, they had, I remember one time, the whole ship disappeared in the sea, never came. And they traveled for God. And here you are, there are people, some of you could get jobs as teachers, you could go to this nation, go and serve the Lord over there. But no, you want to stay where you are. You don't have faith in God. In spite of all the preaching, go into the world. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us rise up and move. Will you go? What about? Why don't you send your child? You want somebody to do this and that. Don't mind this man. He has already secured himself. This is how you talk like your mouth will turn. You see what will happen. I don't want to say something. I would have said something I don't want to say. Every time I've sent people, they were not happy, including most of my bishops, whenever I sent them. Ask them to tell you the truth. They were not happy. Later on, they said, Bishop, thank God for your life. You know, I thank God for your life. You know, I really believe this. But when I was sending them, even from Accra to Tema, they don't want to go. Accra to Tema. But God has strengthened me. And I said, go. If you don't go, you are out. You can't be here. Go. If you don't go, you're out of the church, out of the ministry. Yeah. He has strengthened me. Move. The ministry is to obey God. And I am here to obey God. I'm not here to make money. And I'm not here to do a business. I am not doing a business. If it's success, I'm long time successful. I was successful before I was 40. If it's about success of having a car and a house and these symbols of success, long time ago, I had those symbols of success. I don't need that. I need to walk by faith and obey God. And faith is to travel and to go where God tells you to go. And he says to go to the nations. And so we are going to the nations. Nation after nation after nation. When you don't do it, you open up. Look at what has become of many churches. Even this pandemic has wiped out churches. Our church has grown during the pandemic. Yes. Rather grown in the pandemic. We are just a few here, but it has grown in strength in many things and even in membership. Oh, yes. Faith opens you up to the blessing. He said, without faith, you cannot please God or move God. Move. God is excited and he moves on your behalf. Oh, he says, go. Yes, there are many risks. Adoniram Justin's family, and they fell into the Huli River, what is called, and drowned all of them. families, whole families, drowned in the river as they were crossing Burma, India. And today, all those rivers are still there. All the risks are still there. The day we were coming back from Uganda, the plane was full of our Healing Jesus Crusade directors and staff and all the people that have been on the crusade. And the plane in front, the same type of plane was in front of them. Same airline. They were on the runway together. They were on the... You know, it's not that you read about a plane crash, but this one, they were on the tarmac together and they are all taxied. And they were taxied next to take off. And this man went off. And they were all there. Yeah. It could have been them. What is the risk? But that is faith. People do travel for what they believe to the ends of the world, and they will stay alone in towns away from their families for years and months and years. No one talks about that. You see this sugar that we used to eat, this sugar, the blue one. What is it called? St. Louis. The whole executive, manager, chief executive, deputy, all of them were on a plane together. All. Business. St. Louis Sugar. And the whole plane crashed with everybody on board. And they all perished. The head of that sugar. Yes. For sugar. They were doing it. That's not a problem. And for Jesus. And for what you believe. Faith is to travel for God. God told Abraham, Abraham, travel. Yes, daddy, I'm off. Yes, daddy, I'm off. Pack his bags. And he went. Are you still around?
Yes.
Yeah. Faith comes by hearing. The more you hear about faith. And you see, so when you don't travel when you're supposed to travel, it opens like that. The doors are open because it's a shield. So when you say you don't believe, you put down your shield and you are just there like that. You are walking like that. With a natural strength. And you see, those arrows are not for the whole church. They are targeted. An arrow is personal. You see, an arrow is a personal attack. What you must realize is that there are attacks that are personal. It's just for you. You. It's a personal thing. An arrow is for one person. Rata mukura fasandalada. You may think, oh, something that will affect the group. But when you don't obey God, there are things that are targeted like, it can hit only one heart and one life at a time. And that is why you notice there are personal problems and personal crises that have not affected the group but have only a personal effect on you. Because when you don't believe and you don't obey, faith is obedience and obedience is faith. The attack comes personally and you realize that I am alone in the trouble. Even that's why, you know, we have that song, "Oh My Shepherd." When I couldn't share, I couldn't tell anybody what I was going through. You realize that there are things that are very personal. They are prescribed for you. Hey. It is because you did not believe. And you did not act with speed. And you did not obey. Because faith is to obey. And obey is faith. That's why we have all these personal things. Are you still around? Every bad situation is reversible by faith. John 11, verse 38. And Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Whatever is stinking in your life, God is reversing it and God is taking that stinking thing out of your life.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory and the beauty of God. Whatever is stinking in your life, God is undoing that stinking thing and reversing it by the power of faith. If you believe and you act by faith and you start using and deploying your beliefs and your faith and your obedience to God, the stinking thing of your life will be reversed. You come out and the bandages will be off and the dissolved body will turn right back because the power of God. You see, when you please God, you without faith, it is not possible to move God. It's not possible to please God. It's not possible to excite God. It's not possible to get him up, to lift it up on your behalf. And by faith, I prophesy the stinking things of your life. Marata morapila bashambalaba. The stinketh, he stinketh, he stinketh. Whatever stinketh in your life, God reverses it today by faith. The more you believe, the more you listen, the more you obey, the more your shield of faith rises, and every stinking thing is reversed by power, by grace, by might, by the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you thanks. Oh, thank you for taking away from our lives that which stinketh. That which stinketh. By this time, he stinketh. My God, my God. Lift your hands and thank God. Every standing, don't move around in your house, please. Don't move around in your house. Manda kabara mandalaba. Faith will remove every stinking thing that is associated with your life and your family. Faith, by faith, every bad situation is reversed today. By faith, that which stinketh and that which smells, that which is foul, that which defiles, that which is horrible, is reversed today. By faith, Marata Marobala, Mekerimola Ramandala Mandalabala. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Mama Kabara Mandala Babandala Babandala Baba, Matale Merebula Makabarandali Babandala Baba. Maromba ndeli mama kabala dola mama ndala baba. Marambile bada bala banda ri bale de bele bele ba. Malonde ri ma faralande ri be kamaranda ri baba ndala baba. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. Mande kamala mandola be bala manda ri baba. Oh la la manda ri babo bala manda ri baba ndala baba ndala baba. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. May your life turn around and may every bad news and bad situation and every stinking thing of your life be reversed today. By faith in God and by obedience, every arrow that is personally targeted for you is blocked today by faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of your word, your glory. Oh, to God be the glory in Jesus' name. Now, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to give your life to Jesus. If you are here today, want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be born again. Wherever you are, pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to serve God. Lift your hand and say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. Have mercy upon me. Make me a new person. Write my name in the book of life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to be saved. Thank you that you can reverse every bad situation in my life. Thank you for saving me today with the blood of Jesus. For by faith we are saved. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray this prayer, look on the screen. It says, did you give your life to Christ today? Text or call on this number, the number that is on your screen right now. 233-560-333-079. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for everybody who is part of this amazing service. It's now time for the Holy Communion. And I want everybody at home, please become an expert at home church, because the it's a need to continue the home church for a little while longer in almost every country. All right. And the First Love Church also, we need to continue for other reasons. When you come to church, you will understand even more. Okay. But we need to become professionals at home church flow church service. That's what we call flow. Flow was launched before pandemic came. The word flow and the flow church and all those things came before. It shows you that it's a mighty work. God knew all these things, that it was coming, and so he led us without telling us this is what is. If he had told us, we would have said it's not true, it's a dream. Do you see? So flow, that's what I'm saying. These are all mighty works, and you must also learn to respect all these prophetic things and notice them. So you have to become, if you don't have a Bluetooth speaker, I want to tell you that you are a disobedient person. Even on your television, get a Bluetooth speaker so that the sound is nicer and you feel that you are in church for everybody who is watching. So if you don't have a Bluetooth speaker, you are what? Disobedient. And it will be more tolerable for who? Tyre and Sidon than in your case. Because they would have, a long while ago, they would have gotten the Bluetooth speaker, a great one. They were faster in doing things. But you are always a long time before you do anything. Karambo sabara manambarabara. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now take the Holy Communion, the cup of blessing, the bread of blessing.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. gonna touch you when I see the blood. Oh, I will pass over you. When I see the blood,
Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. God visits his people in giving them bread. God visits his people in giving them bread. And today you have in your hand the bread. God visiting you in giving you this supernatural bread, which we believe is the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your body. We honor your body. Say, we discern and detect in the spirit that this is your body. As we partake of this body today, we receive a visitation, because your word says that you had visited your people by giving them bread. Thank you for the visitation in my body, and the visitation in the bodies of everybody, and in the lives of everybody, in giving us bread, the body of Jesus Christ.
I will pass over you.
For your mistakes and my mistakes, the Bible says when a woman goes to give birth, she shall come to the priest, to the Levite, and present a sin offering. Every one of us is associated with sin. Even a normal young girl who is just giving birth, there is a sin everywhere. And by this blood, we are cleansed, we are washed, and made pure. Whatever reason, evidence, whatever basis Satan would use to attack you with the spirit of guilt and the spirit of accusation, through the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, may your sins be wiped out and remembered no more. I rebuke the memory of your sins. I rebuke the memory of your mistakes. Every tormenting memory is replaced with sweet memories. In the name of Jesus Christ, may there be a washing, a cleansing of the darkness of our lives by the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand. On this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless you. Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you and protect you this week in particular from every evil that has targeted you this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever arrow is coming in your direction, I say, lose power now and fall to the ground. The Lord make his face shine upon you. By the presence of the Lord's approval, you shall make war and succeed. May the Lord approve of you this week. May he approve of your ways this week. May he approve of your words this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, may you be forgiven and granted grace where there was no grace. May you receive the graciousness of the Lord in your life. Now, may the Lord lift up his countenance. That means may he reverse, as he was looking down, may he look up now. May he reverse his expression. His expression, instead of anger, instead of disapproval, instead of regret, instead of disapproval, may you receive a face of approval over your life. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. Whatever is a source of concern, a source of worry, a source of difficulty in your life is ending now. Even as your life looks nice on the outside, but on the inside, a lot of skeletons and dead men's bones. In Jesus' name, I command an excavation of dead men's bones and skeletons that are a horror on the inside of your life. Let the inside be as clean as the outside. Let every evil that is within be expunged and expelled from your life this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Be blessed and the Lord give you peace in your life. Father, thank you for kindness shown to all your children everywhere in the world watching, and your mighty blessing. I bless my children. Amen. That you've given to me, Lord. I bless the whole family. Amen. I bless all the pastors, the bishops, Lord, and their wives and their families. Amen. Let not bad news enter any house. Amen. In Jesus' name, let Amen. Not a curse enter any dwelling place. In Jesus' name. Amen. And for evil replaced with good. Amen. And for bad news replaced with good news. Amen. I ask it in Jesus' name. Bless all the children that you gave to me. From Australia to America to Africa to Europe to every part of the Caribbean to South America. Bless them, Lord. And make them a mighty flock. Ranka tomara mada cannot be numbered as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. Bless and multiply greatly and increase, Lord. Arakata samanula baba. Thank you for the multitude that you have raised up for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.